Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "After me, the one who is more powerful than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but the one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
I hope it's going well for all of you so far. It's a pleasure to be here with you all today. Okay, the smart one in the front row is talking back to me already. But really, thank you, Pastor Eric, for the invitation to preach today. It's an honor to be back with you. And bless you, good people of our Savior's, for continuing to be the beloved community of God in this place. So what's new with you this new year? More to the point, where has God shown up for you? Where have you recognized God's presence? Has it blown you away? Or snuck up on you? Or are you struck by God's absence instead? These are the good questions of Epiphany, this new season of the church year we are in. Epiphany means manifestation or appearance. And we have about 5 weeks in this season to ponder the questions of where God shows up. So post them on your bathroom mirror and live with them a while and see what you come to see. Today, our scripture readings give us a fascinating glimpse of where God shows up. They take us way back to the beginning. In the beginning, when God was creating the heavens and the earth was a formless void. The poet of Genesis 1 is straining to find the right words here to help us imagine the scene way before any human was there to see it. The earth was a formless void. In Hebrew, it's tohu vabohu, which is really fun to say. Right? Tohu vabohu. Waste schmaste is one English translation that gets at the rhyme scheme. So, here we go. In the beginning, when God was creating the heavens and the earth was waste schmaste, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God shimmied over the waters. Oh my goodness, there's a dance going on here. It's not too much to say that God was at play. But it was a strange place to play, because the deep was a scary place for our spiritual ancestors. Sure, the Israelites tromped through the desert, but they also knew the sea, and that's where the monsters lived who swallowed up entire ships, where chaos threatened to undo everything. How interesting, then, that God chose the place of chaos as creation's studio. And did you notice that God was not creating out of nothing? That's a philosophical idea, but it's not in the Bible. God was creating stuff from the dancing waters. Now you might ask, who created the waters and when? day minus one? Well, the Bible really isn't interested in those questions, which tell us a couple things about the story. First, it's not science. It was never intended to be science. We can let science follow the logic of our God-given rationality, and it is a gift from God, and science is a gift from God. And we can enjoy Genesis for its own purpose, to tell us who God is, and eventually who we are in relationship with God and the rest of creation. So the Spirit, which is the same word as wind, this is so much fun, the Spirit wind was shimmying over the deep, creating order out of chaos. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light, and it was good. Wendell Johnson is an African-American poet of the last century. And he wrote a poem called The Creation. He puts this verse this way. Then God smiled, and the light broke. And the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on another. And God said, that's good. Yes, indeed, what a grand story. And we're only five verses in. So what does it tell you about where God shows up? About where we might catch a glimpse of God's presence and have our joy restored? Because that's the point, I think. For where God is present, hope is real. And where hope is real, joy can pop in and strengthen our spirits, and strong spirits can serve God's world. Boy, do I need a glimpse of God these days. I don't know when in my adulthood public life has been so chaotic and so in need of real hope. I need God to show up. But of course, God is always showing up. I need to have eyes to see. So a better way to say it is that I need to see the presence of God in the chaos. How do I do that? How do you? Well, one way that has been proven faithful to me is diving into the stories of sacred scripture. They're given to us for a reason, you know, and it's not just to teach us history. A long time ago, I told you this story about Timmy the toddler. Maybe you've forgotten, so I'll tell it again. And there are lots and lots of new people here, so that's just a delight as well. Well, Timmy the toddler had his mom read the same book to him over and over and over again. One night, after the third telling, it was time to turn the lights off. But first, Timmy got out of bed, took the book from his mother's hand, put it on the floor, opened up. Then he gently stepped on it, first one foot and then the other. He wanted to be in the story. And you know what? We already are. We already are in God's story, even though we don't always recognize ourselves in there. Here's another epiphany question to ponder. How might the stories of sacred scripture so capture our imaginations that we become part of them and they become part of us? How might these stories continue to shape us? And how do they help us know where to expect the presence of God? Well, it's probably a big oh duh to say that we can see the shimmying spirit of God in creation. Is there anybody here who hasn't been awestruck by something out there? Ice patterns in the creek? Driving going to the sun highway? The soft eye of a horse? I had to get that in there. The terrible beauty of a fire. Take a moment to recall such an experience for yourself. This primal experience of awe is holy in itself. After being held in that wonder, though, you might well ponder the biblical story to see what you can see, to make some connections. How does your awesome experience dance with what you've learned from Genesis 1? Consider, creation is good, and God has fun, so enjoy. Or, remember how God gets creative in chaos. So if you're in chaos, trust that God has really good material to work with. And remember, God's Spirit is in stuff. Water carries the word of God, telling the baptized that you are my beloved. Bread becomes the body of Christ for us, and we become the body of Christ for the world. It's almost as if creation is one big sacrament. And if it is, what word of grace does it speak to us? The world is charged with the grandeur of God, says poet Gerard Manley Hopkins. Absolutely. Which means that God is near and we are not alone. You are not alone ever. Now, all of this gets distilled in the baptism of Jesus, made even more accessible when God's Spirit becomes fully alive in a person like us. Jesus shows up at the River Jordan. Notice he doesn't show up at Herod's palace. Make a note of that. He goes to the same river that the Israelites had crossed to enter into the promised land. It is the threshold of freedom. And he is far from alone. Jesus shows up with, as Mark puts it, the whole countryside of Judea and everyone from Jerusalem. Wow. The curious and the desperate who are enthralled by this wild man, John, and his call to new life. His call to shed what shames them, what destroys their dignity. And Jesus joins them. Jesus joins them, choosing to be baptized just like them in a rite of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, good old Lutherans among us probably have little danger flags warning. Oh, no. Whether Jesus needs to repent is a matter of church doctrine, and the answer there has always been no, and it continues to be no. But this sacred story, the story in the Bible, is not concerned with that question. It's just not asking that question. Rather, here we see Jesus acting in solidarity with his people who are seeking to turn their lives around. So he enters the water with them and with us. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. The heavens are ripped open. God is in creation mode again, working with the chaos of Roman-occupied Judea, opening up access between heaven and earth. And then then Jesus hears God's commendation. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. So then this is exactly what God has in mind for Jesus and for us. God is as near as our flesh in Jesus, our brother. This is where God shows up. In a real person who lived in a particular time and place, who embodies God's story in a way that we can see and understand. Looking for God? Well, looky here. Look for Jesus, your brother, in all the stories of the gospel. Notice the folks he stands with. Pay attention to the people he cares for. Need some hope? Remember your own baptism and hang on to the Spirit's word for you. You are my beloved. And if you've not been baptized yet, and find yourself longing to live even more closely with Jesus, as he said at the beginning of worship, talk to Pastor Eric. Everyone is invited into baptism. Finally, are you tired of the dark? I am. But we're in luck because Epiphany is the season of light. You might want to go home and light up all the candles that you have in your house. Because the Spirit of God is looking for you. The seeking goes both ways, you know. It's like playing hide and seek. You find a really good hiding place, but not too good because you really want to be found. Most of the time. The Spirit of God, who appears both in creation and in Christ, is seeking you. Always. Beloved in the Lord, may we see that we are found. This is the gospel of the Lord.